The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
19, verses 28 through 40. Now again, in the Gospels it tells of Palm Sunday. And of course they had their palms as they greeted Jesus. But in this account in Luke, which actually Jim and Misty mentioned a week ago, I think, or two. Verse 28 through 40. After telling this story, Jesus went on toward Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As he came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you untying that colt, just say, the Lord needs it. So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, why are you untying that colt? And the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. Verse 35, so they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their garments over it for him to ride. And as he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Raising from the dead. Blind eyes opened. They had seen all these things, and they were praising God for Jesus doing these things. Verse 38, blessings on the king. And it's interesting that they called him the king. Blessings on the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. That's a whole other story right there. Verse 39, but some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, teacher. Because they had to recognize Jesus as teacher, because he was teaching the scriptures. So they're like, well, we got to at least recognize that. Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like this. See, they were saying that he was the Messiah. That's what the crowds were saying. This is the king that they knew was going to come. And the leaders in the synagogue were like, they don't need to be saying that. You tell them, rebuke them, tell them don't do it. And Jesus replied, if they keep quiet, even the stones along the road would burst into cheers. What was happening at that moment was this was the first time that Jesus allowed himself to be publicly identified as the Messiah. Okay? Before he would say, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke that to you, keep that to yourself. Right? You know that I'm the Messiah, I'm the Christ that was to come. You guys know that. He was telling his disciples, followers. But wait, it wasn't his time yet. This was the time that his identity was known and the fact of the person of who he was put out. That's the definition of identity. It's the fact of being and knowing who a person is. And so today, on Palm Sunday, we're going to look at identity. And who you are. Father, I thank you for this day. I do. I thank you for the people here. I thank you for the word, Father, that you give us, Father. I thank you for your Holy Spirit leading us into truth, Father, empowering us to advance your kingdom in this region. Give us wisdom as we walk this out today and every day in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Yes, identity. Who are you? Well, you know, we've been studying Gideon. I didn't mean to. But we did. So in Judges 6, 11 and 12, remember part of the story. Then the angel of the Lord came to Gideon, or came and sat down beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the clan of Abiezer. And Gideon, the son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of the winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. He was hiding the grain, right? We went through the story. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Again, the angel of the Lord called Gideon mighty hero. In the New King James, it says mighty man of valor. Valor. Valor is courage in the face of danger, especially in battle. That's what valor means. Courageous in the face of battle. That's what the angel of the Lord called Gideon. In verse 14, this is what it says. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with strength that you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I'm sending you. God identified who Gideon really was and then gave him destiny. Through your identity, you gain destiny. Okay? Okay. Jesus knew his destiny because he knew his identity. He knew who he was. He was the I Am. He was God, come in human form to save us. He knew that. He was trying to get himself known to us even today. Now Gideon is being told who he is and then given his destiny. And what does he do with that? Verse 15, "But Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family." What was Gideon doing? Identifying himself. Gideon identified himself by his circumstances, by his senses, by what was going on in the natural around him, and leaning on his understanding of what was going on. He was looking at his circumstances and identifying himself with that. How many of us have done that? Everybody, right? Verse 16, "The Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." Identity leads to destiny. Who are you? And more importantly, who are you identifying with? Okay. Ephesians 4, verse 30. I'm reading now the NLT. Nice. "And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he," that's God, "has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption." When you accept Christ as your Savior, when you identify with Jesus, right? What were the people doing? They're saying, this is the King, this is the Messiah. That's what Palm Sunday was about. That right there was the first public notice that things were about to change. And they're changing even today. Amen? Amen. And that's why we're here. But the only way we're going to walk into the destiny God has for each and every person is by walking in the identity we have in Him. You see, I can't identify with my past, because that will mess all of us up, right? I can't identify with the circumstances of my situation. Those have changed greatly throughout my life. Right? I mean, I can't identify with 42 things going wrong before church service. I will get excited. And it won't turn out well. Right? But I identify with my Father in heaven who identified me. Ah, man. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," there's your key. If anyone is in Christ. When you're in Christ, you've acknowledged and admitted, hey, I've sinned, I've made mistakes. I believe Jesus has redeemed me for every one of those. And I confess his kingship from my mouth. The ABCs, right? And then what happens? The Holy Spirit comes inside of me, identifying me as one of his own. Amen? All right. In Christ. Now, he is a new creation. New is new. New is new. No one's ever driven that new car. That's yours. It's new. You are new. Brand new. You're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. One of the biggest hindrances in a Christian's walk is identifying with their past life. It's true. It's true. All the potential God placed into us at conception is released in fullness through Christ. New creation created for good works. Amen? Everything God destined you to be at the moment you were conceived, he had a destiny. Remember, he says, "I know the plans I have for you." Jeremiah 29, 11. "I know the plans I have for you." This is God talking. "Plans to give you hope," that's great expectations, "and a future." Good plans, right? He planned that at your conception. But only when you identify your sonship and daughtership, is that a word? Your kidship, let's just say that. I like that word better. With the Father, identify with Him, my destiny is assured. Man, and that's just not my end destiny. It's my destiny day by day. Man, that is a whoop. That's an exciting thing. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the Passion, it says, "Now if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new." You see, Satan is going to try to identify you with your past. He's going to call you names. He's going to call you liar, drunkard, addict. He's going to call you all those things, right? That's not who you are. Man. And that gives you destiny, man. See, I don't identify with my old self. I don't call myself an old sinner. Have I sinned? Yep. Do I sin when things go wrong sometimes? Yep. And I repent quick. And I allow the Holy Spirit to work through me. But I don't identify with my sin. I identified with my Savior. Amen? Man. Man. And that's how we are empowered then to do the destined things He's called us to do. In Ephesians 2, I'm going to read 7 through 10 in the Passion. It says, "Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display." Think about that. "Of the infinite riches of His grace and His kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved by faith. Nothing you did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the love gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving." That gets us off the hook. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Verse 10, "We have become His poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny He has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it." Who's He talking about? He's talking about you. Man. Each and every one of you that are in Christ. Amen? Wow. Let's skip to 13. "Look at you now." "Look at you now. Everything is new. Although you were once distant and far away from God, now you have been brought delightfully close to Him through the sacred blood of Jesus. You have actually been united to Christ." Amen? In the Gospel of John 1, verses 12 and 13, it says, "But to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God." You are a child of God. You know, we sing that song, "I am who you say I am." Well, who are you? Are you who you're saying you are? Or are you who He says you are? Because that internal dialogue is important, guys. Because Satan gets into your mind, right? He starts reminding you of your past. He starts reminding you of your mistakes, your failures. Why? He wants you looking at you. He wants you looking at your circumstance. Satan does not want you looking at your Savior who gives you destiny. See, he's trying to abort, which... You know why the abortion's such a... Satan wants to abort the destiny God has for His created people. But that's why that's being cast down in the name of Jesus. You see, we will not abort our destiny because we know whose we are. And we know who we are in Him. See, by identifying with Him, it assures us our destiny. And now it isn't dependent on my human abilities. It's not dependent on my the great way I speak. Because I speak so just eloquently. Right? Well, praise God, we ain't got to depend on that, right? We had trouble. But when we depend on him, he makes it, he gives us a way when in our mind we can't find a way. See? Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to read 1 through 3. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that is what we are. But the people who belong to the world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't even know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectations will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. Now, what does that mean? Because I know whose I am. I'm in the family business, right? I am. I'm in the family. That means we're in the family business. He has called us to good works, right? He's equipped us fully, right? So now, if I think about my past, that purity thing, I'm in trouble, right? It almost blocked me moving forward if I think about my past. But he says to be holy because I am holy. Well, how can I be holy? Through him. When I identify with him, his holiness covers up all of that back there. And now I'm able to walk out what he has up here. Amen? He's talking to all of us. What a mighty God we serve. How cool is that? We have a destiny because we have identity. Amen? All right. Let's go to Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is in the Passion. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits, enthroned at the place of all power, all honor, and all authority. Verse 2. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. There's a lot in that. You see, the true reality isn't what we're breathing and living today. That's not the true reality. This is a path to that true reality. And in this path, we have a destined purpose, advancing his kingdom, advancing the way he thinks about things, the way he wants to do things, right? And what does that do? That's announcing not only that he came, but it's announcing his coming. Ah, what were they doing Palm Sunday? They were announcing his presence. They were announcing the victory that was to come. You know when the victory came? It started that Sunday. It started on that Palm Sunday. It did. Then Friday, when the enemy thought, oh, I won now. We killed Jesus. A done deal. Well, it was a done deal for the enemy. It was done. I think about what was it like for Abraham and Isaac. And they were sitting in paradise. And Jesus walks in. You wait for me. I think about my life when Jesus walked in and says, you're mine. And everybody has that moment. Our job is to present that moment to the people who don't know him. And how do we do that? By identifying with him in our day-to-day life. When I make a mistake, I don't identify myself with the mistake. I identify myself with the one who covers my mistake. And I say, Lord, I messed up. Forgive me. What do I do now? Show me. And he will. That's freedom, guys. Man, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Man. Verse 3. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God and Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed. For you are now one with him in his glory right now. I think about our loved ones who have passed on to be with him. They're not sad. They're not sad. We are sad when we think about the temporal loss. But when I think about the eternal gain they have, and I think about our destiny, I rejoice. I praise God that I know whose I am and where I'm going. And you know what that does? It empowers each and every one of us. It gives you power. Because you have that identity, you're empowered to walk out that destiny. See? So when stuff comes against you, because guess what? It's going to come against you. It's going to come against you. It's going to come against you. Right? And if you identify with the problem, if you identify with your past, it hinders that progress. It doesn't thwart it. Because you know what Jesus is going to do? Keep telling you who you are. Amongst the noise of the world, he's going to keep telling you, son, daughter, I love you. I've equipped you. Do not quit. Do not think that this terrible thing happened to you is strange. That's what the scripture says. Don't think it's strange. You're my kid. When I came down, they crucified me. What do you think they're going to do with you? They ain't going to like you. But we're going to love them because once they identify with me, my kingdom advances. See, we're talking about lost people right there, guys. But praise God, we're saved people in here. We're saved by grace, but through faith. That's why we keep believing. I love what Misty shared. We keep believing. We keep believing. We keep believing. We keep believing. We know we have a call. We know we have an equipped purpose and a destiny, and it hasn't stopped. Are you breathing? Because if you're not, EJ, dial 911. We got to do something. Everybody start praying, right? If you're breathing, your destiny is one step in front of you. So today, identify so you can take that step. Because then you'll take another one, and then you'll take another one, and then you'll take another one, and you'll see God's power revealed in glory, shining so other people can see. Not to boast on, woo, look at this. No, to boast in him. Look what he has done for us, and he'll do it for you. Man, that's the good news, people. You know, Easter Sunday next week, you know, we're going to have people in here. Because they're going to come to watch little Ralphie Joe be baptized. Because little Ralphie Joe identified. Amen. But seriously, we're going to have people baptized, right? And some people are going to come to watch their loved one be baptized. And we have an opportunity to advance his kingdom in their life. Whether they are believers, they're our brothers and sisters. If they're unbelievers, they're our potential brothers and sisters. Amen. And we advance his kingdom. Come on up, babe. We have communion today. But you know, I wanted to do something today. As we are walking in our identity, and I'm going to continue with this as we move forward. We just scratched the surface. But before we go ahead and pass out the communion cups, guys. Because I'm going to talk to folks. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Eric and John and Mr. Gene and EJ. And Sean's got my back over here. Tyler's got my front. Man, praise God. I had heard something the other day, and I was praying about it. You know, there are people in our region that are destined for the kingdom, and they don't know it yet. Okay? There are people in this region who have identified with Christ, but their vision is shaky. Does that make sense? They've been watching the world, they've been watching their situation, And what we're going to do before we take communion, we're going to do two things. Around you, you're going to see empty chairs. Not a ton. But you're going to see some empty chairs, right? What we're going to do is we're going to say a little prayer. I believe there is a person destined for that seat. Okay? They'll never come to that seat until they identify with Jesus. I want us to, if you see a seat, just kind of put your hand on it. If you don't see one, just kind of put your hands out. We're speaking over the people destined for these chairs. Father God in heaven, I know you have a plan. Your plan is perfect. Your plan is to bring the lost home. Those that are orphans have a father. Father, they've got to identify you as their father. Father, each and every chair here that's empty, Father, you have a person in need of your love, in need of the identity in you, in need of a destiny advancing your kingdom in this region. Father, I ask you to draw the people that are supposed to sit in these chairs. Draw them by your Holy Spirit. Draw them by your love, Father, that they would come and walk out that destiny you have for them, Father. Father, I thank you for those you've brought here, Father. Thank you for equipping them. Thank you for giving them your love and identifying each and every one of us as your child. Continue to draw. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Guys, so now we've spoken it, we expect it. I expect to see the new faces. I expect, and I'm not telling you, okay, now go to Ralphie Joe and tell him to come. No, I want you to pray. Yes, if there's been someone on your heart you want to invite, invite them. If not, just keep praying for the ones God is inviting, because he is. All right, we've got our communion cups. One of the issues I had is everything on my little... Okay, remember, you guys know, I always had a notebook. I wrote stuff out. Now, the only problem with that is I can't write. You think I'm teasing. If I give my notebook to her, it's like, oh boy, this is bad. So, and it was Pastor Bert, Sean, that got me doing the whole electric thing, right? And I can share it with the folks. But it's funny when you open up one of these things and it's all gone. I mean, at least my papers I can kind of look and, you know. But on this thing, Dave, I'm in trouble. But God brought it back here. So he gave me a way where I didn't think there was a way. How many have heard of AirDrop? Who knew you could do that? I'm in my phone. It's like, deet. I was trying to fax it or something. But all right. Let's do our communion, guys. Oh, thank you, Lord. Dear Lord, we come to you and remember all that you have done for us on the cross. We thank you for loving us so much that you gave up heaven for us. Thank you for allowing your body to be broken so that ours might be whole. And as we partake, we receive your resurrection life, your health, and your strength. And by your grace, we shall be completely strong and healthy all the days of our life. Our eyes shall not grow dim, nor shall our strength be abated. No sickness can remain in our bodies because the same power that raised you from the grave flows through us. By your stripes we are healed. Let's partake in the bread. It's the little one. Thank you, Lord. Let's hold the cup in our hands. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious, precious blood. Thank you for washing us clean of all our sins. We stand before you completely righteous, completely forgiven, a complete child of the living God. Your blood has redeemed us from every curse, and today we can freely receive all the blessings that you have for your children and that you crown on the head of the righteous. Let's partake in the cup. Man. I always read Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, I bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and we will not forget any of his benefits. You forgive us of all our iniquities, and you heal all our diseases. That's from Psalm 103. Guys, that's one to bookmark in your Bible and read it out loud and receive that promise that Sean and Hannah, go look that up on Facebook. That was a good word. Oh, and you can even, on the app thing, the notes are there. Excellent notes. All the scriptures are there. Praise God. All right. It's an important time now. We're going to say our scripture confessions. If you look at these confessions, again, they're all from God's word, right? Because what are we confessing? What God says. When we identify with him, what he says about us is what's right. I have to remind my wife. Sometimes I got to remind her. And I would remind anybody, and she's included with anybody. Don't talk about my wife like that. And I'll tell her, don't you talk about my wife like that. That's my wife. I'll tell her too. Because our identity's in him. Amen. And when we talk about ourselves, we're saying what our Father has already said about us. So let's read these out, or let's say these out loud together.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore.